disorder as understood in his day. The solipsism of infancy, the sexual hysterias of adolescence and entry-level adulthood, the paranoia of middle age, the dementia of late life, all working up to death, which at last turns out to be sanity. Great time to be finding that out, Freud flicking cigar ash at Kugelblitz and ordering him out the door of Bergasse 19, never to return. Kugelblitz shrugged, immigrated to the U.S., settled on the Upper West Side, and built up a practice, soon accumulating a network of high and mighty who, in some moment of pain or crisis, had sought his help. During the fancy-schmancy social occasions he found himself at increasingly, whenever he introduced them to one another as friends of his, each would recognize another repaired spirit. Whatever Kugelblitzian analysis was doing for their brains, some of these patients were getting through the depression nicely enough to kick in startup money after a while to found the school, and to do Kugelblitz in on the profits, plus creation of a curriculum in which each grade level would be regarded as a different kind of mental condition and managed accordingly. A loony bin with homework, basically. This morning, as always, Maxine finds the oversized stoop aswarm with pupils, teachers on wrangler duty, parents and sitters, and younger siblings in strollers. The principal, Bruce Winterslow, acknowledging the equinox in a white suit and Panama hat, is working the crowd, all of whom he knows by name and thumbnail bio, patting shoulders, genially attentive, schmoozing or threatening as the need arises. Maxie, hi. Verva McElmo, gliding across the porch, through the crowd, taking much longer than she has to. A West Coast thing, it seems to Maxine. Verva is a sweetheart, but not nearly time-obsessed enough. People been known to get their Upper West Side mom cards pulled for far less than she gets away with. I'm like in another scheduling nightmare this afternoon, she calls from a few strollers away. Nothing too major. Well, not yet anyway, but at the same time... No prob, just to speed things up a little, I'll bring Fiona back to our place. You can come get her whenever. Thanks, really. I'll try not to be too late. She can always sleep over. Before they got to know each other, Maxine would bring out herbal tea after putting on a pot of coffee for herself, till Verva inquired, pleasantly enough, like I'm wearing California plates on my butt, or what? This morning, Maxine notes a change from the normal weekday throw-together, what Barbara used to call an executive lunch suit instead of denim overalls, for one thing. Hair up instead of in the usual blonde braids, and the plastic monarch butterfly earrings replaced by what? Diamond studs? Zircons? Some appointment later in the day? Business matters, no doubt? Job hunting? Maybe another financing expedition? Verva has a degree from Pomona, but no day job. She and Justin are transplants. Silicon Valley to Silicon Alley. Justin and a friend from Stanford have a little startup that somehow managed to glide through the dot-com disaster last year, though not with what you'd call irrational exuberance. So far, they've been coming up okay with the tuition at Kugelblitz, not to mention rent for the basement and parlor floors of a brownstone off Riverside, which the first time Maxine saw, she had a real estate envy attack. Magnificent residence, she pretended to quell. Maybe I'm in the wrong business. Talk to Bill Gates here, Verva, nonchalant. I'm just hanging out, waiting for my stock options to vest. Right, honey? California sunshine, snorkel deep waters, most of the time anyway. Once in a while, though... Maxine hasn't been in the business she's in for this long without growing antennas for the unspoken. Good luck with it, Verva, thinking, whatever it is, and noting a slow California double take as she exits the stoop, kissing her kids on top of their heads on the way past, and resumes the morning commute. Maxine.